Tonight on RCD's Uncensored Mind, episode 118, I am following up my Thanksgiving episode with a motivational speech. That's right, I am going to show you guys the love right here tonight on RCD's Uncensored Mind.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your giant soul brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am AJ Orsini, and once again here to bequeath unto all of you, episode 118. Now, I know that wasn't much of an opening. And I know that I'm leaving things just kind of open right now, but bear with me because I've got a lot of things that I want to say. And I feel like this is the time for me to go ahead and say them. I'm very excited about the idea that I'm going to be able to say these things. I'm super stoked because I have the platform to do so. That's part of the reason why I'm going down this road for this particular episode. We are in the month of December. We are down one more year. We are about to enter a whole new decade in just a few weeks here, 2020. And I've been on this earth for about 36 years. I have a 37th birthday coming up, so I'll be able to... I know if you listen to this show, you probably heard me say that number 1,000 times. I'll have a new number in about 2 months. My son will also be having a new number. He will be 5, which to me is kind of a milestone. I like 5. 5 is a good... Five is a good strong number there. Good strong number. So, obviously, a lot of things going on in the world of Orsini here. If you've been following my social media, you know that I am up to my eyeballs in work. Not just this podcast, but obviously the shoot job, school, so many things going on in my world right now. But as per usual, taking the time out here to put out the content, put out the episodes here, and keep on working here. Now, an update, December 20th, is still scheduled for Orsini's Xmas as Fuck extravaganza. For those of you who didn't catch last week's episode, I'm still going with this. We are going to be doing, on December 20th, the Xmas as Fuck episode. We're going to be going full-born Christmas here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I have the capabilities of going live. I have not decided whether or not we are or we aren't. I'm still on the fence about that because I want to see how that's going to work out. There's some behind-the-scenes things I want to get figured out. Before I go ahead and say that, but I am recording on that Friday. I am recording the 20th. I don't know if I want to air it live on the 20th or record it and then put it up Christmas, or I could do it live and then redistribute it Christmas, whatever. We're making the final decisions, but that thing is pretty much still on and good to go. The Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt still on sale. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. You can go over there and buy your sexy, sexy Orsini's Uncensored Mind gray tee. That is the best way, and now that I know off the top of my head, it is the only way to support the show if you're big fans of listening. Also, I have finally been convinced. I haven't had the chance this past week because, again, overload. But the Patreon stuff will be coming soon. 2020 is going to be huge, guys. Huge. I've been doing... some pretty huge things thus far. I will be getting into bigger in 2020. And I don't mean in the pants. I'm big enough. Any bigger, and we're going to need better insurance for my wife. So we're going to be huge in 2020 here, and that's that. So the shirt's on sale there, guys. We just had a Black Friday sale, which did pretty good. If you guys want to support the show, help a brother out, t-shirts are on sale. It's a beautiful tee. You can wear that tee anywhere. Funerals, bar mitzvahs, you know, new grand openings to stores, housewarmings for people you don't know, whatever the occasion you may call, the gray Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt fits the bill. So you can head over there and handle all of that. As far as the platforms, I haven't done that often, but I'll do it again. Nothing new on that front, although I do have some offers and I have some things on the table as far as that goes with platforming and different social medias and stuff. So we're going to figure that out soon. After this finals week, I am running hard up until about December 16th. So that is that's how that's going to go. Until December 16th, I'm pretty much nose in the books, guys. So I'm trying to work my way around all that stuff and still do the show and still this and still the and still that and still do that and still that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that as the show progresses, by the by. But until then, we're getting all the heavy lifting out of the way here out of the beginning. So there's that. The platform's usually the same here: Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Obviously, the webpage where all the newest episodes are uploaded, ajoum.podbean.com. There's a million and one ways to listen to the show. Any way that you listen to podcasts, chances are I'm probably on there. And if not, I will be in 2020. I'm going to be all ups in your grills, okay? I've been doing that accent recently. There's all ups in your grills. Death Clock got back together. I don't know if that means anything to anyone listening to this, but it's huge for me because I'm a huge Metalocalypse fan, and they did something for Adult Swim not too long ago, which got me hyped, so I've been listening to it a lot lately, especially during my work. Something about rock, something about metal, something about like something heavy to listen to in the background while you're doing schoolwork gets you real productive, or at least it gets me real productive. So that's been pretty cool. We've been getting through with that. So platforms, yeah. So different platforms, we're all over the place. Check it out. So that's all the heavy lifting. That's all the bill paying things that we need to do here. And as far as what we're going to be discussing today here on the episode, I'm going to tell you right now. I have put a lot of thought into whether or not I was going to do this. I've had this opinion of doing this show for a long while, and I never really thought to myself that maybe, you know, I never thought to myself that maybe you should just take the time. I always try to slip it in where I can. I make comments here and there, and I put things down to paper, and I always say, okay, do this here and mention this here. I always try to sprinkle it about. But I knew at some point that I was going to have to sit down and do a full fucking episode about this. And I think today is the day because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the wrestling world. I understand that. And that's a big reason as to why you guys listen to this show. And I'm not going to say that we're going to rule out some wrestling discussion here, because even in serious conversation with me, you're going to get some wrestling. That's just the way. There's no way around that. That's just the way that I roll, baby. So I'm pretty sure we'll get into some things. But there's something that I wanted to discuss that's pretty important to me, and it's something that was brought up after last week's episode. It was broached to me personally, and it was apparently something that I said last week that it didn't rub them the wrong way. It was just something that bothered them about it. They brought it to me, and now I want to do kind of an explanation deal on that and get a little bit more about myself. And where I'm coming from with my point of view on a particular topic. So let's go ahead and get into that. I'm not going to beat around the bush. There isn't really much. We're going to be flowing with this one. It's going to be a liquid episode here. We're just going to flow with the water and the current and see where we wind up on this, because I think it's very important that we talk about this, or that I talk about this at the very, very least, because I don't want to leave people with the impression that I think people are getting the impression about me. Okay, so I want to go ahead and explain something, and then I'm going to go deeper into it. So first of all, first and foremost, the topic that needs discussing is I did a very big piece on Mauro and Corey Graves last week. There's since been some information that came out about it, about Corey doing this fake half-assed apology and all this different stuff, but the topic of mental health came up. And then, you know, there's other things, you know, Cornette's situation is also dealing a little bit in that topic. We've had some new updates on our good friend ACH over here, who is once again blowing Twitter up this time. Basically, I guess he took a few bookings, and now he has cleared his schedule. He's retiring, or he's quitting, or whatever the fuck. I don't really give a fuck at all, really, about his particular situation, which I guess is the larger problem, because people, I think, have the impression of me that I don't care about people with mental health problems. That's the short version of what was a long conversation with a particular someone who opted for me not to say the name, which is fine. I don't care, because the point of the conversation is what I want to discuss. I don't have a hate or an uncomfortability talking or discussing mental health. I don't. I have no problem with discussing it, but I can only have the conversation with you based on my point of view and my experiences. Now, I have had experience with mental health problems, not from myself. I won't sit here and lie to you and tell you that I have suffered from mental health issues, because if I did, it was unbeknownst to me, because I don't recall ever having a mental situation that I either could not control or overcome. From my understanding of this topic, mental health issues can be something trivial, or it could be something as being full-blown diagnosed and basically your hands are tied in the situation. You just got to ride that wave out and just make sure you don't hurt anybody or hurt yourself or whatever the case may be. Basically, it can go from 1 to 100. It all ranges. It all depends on the person, the individual, and more importantly, how they deal with it. So I said this big-ass piece last week about Marwanello, and I wanted to make absolutely clear to the fact that I'm no fan of Corey Graves in this situation. I think what he did was dumb, douchey, and was not deserved. The three Ds here. Dumb, douchey, and undeserved, which is a UD, so it's DDUD. It's three Ds with a U thrown in the middle. It's dumb, douchey, and undeserved. Going on Twitter and doing it on social media was a fucking stupid, and I think everyone understands that, everyone knows that, everyone should be on the same page about that, and it appears Corey Graves is now on that same page as well. I think his apology was bullshit. I think his apology was phony. I think he said something simply because he was told to fucking say it, and nothing more and nothing less. He has admitted, there's audio clips being shared of him, he has admitted that he says things to stir the pot, he says things to get discussion started, to possibly talk about on TV or talk about on his own podcast. He stirs shit up. He has basically admitted to being a professional fucking troll. Because of that, I have zero fucking like for the individual, and I don't give a fuck. Do I respect him? Of course I fucking respect him. He's in my profession. He has a job that I would kill to fucking have. And not for nothing, I think he's pretty good at his fucking job. But job notwithstanding, as a human being, fuck him. I don't really give a fuck about Corey Graves. And I buried him last week for what he did. And I'll continue to bury him. And for as long as he continuously keeps doing stupid, dumb, douchey, and undeserving things to people. Having said that, I posed the question, is Marwanello, because of his mental health situation, above? Is he above criticism? And I felt he was not. I don't think any man or woman in a high-level power position or a high-level performance position should be free and absolved from criticism. Everyone's performance is subjective. It depends on the audience that's listening. Some people are going to like you. Some people are going to dislike you. There's no way around it. I don't think any one person should be allowed to sit here and say, and I'm not saying that Marlo is saying this, but I know that there are people who defend him that say this. When they say, because of his mental health issues, you're allowed to love him, but you're not allowed to hate him. And I think that's bullshit. I think that's horseshit. I think everything about that is bullshit. I don't think anybody, regardless of your mental faculties, regardless of your physical situation, I don't think anybody should be above criticism when you're in a high-profile situation just like that. I think he is strong enough to handle the criticism. He was back this past week. I think he is in a good place. I think he's a good person. But just because he deals with being bipolar, just because he deals with this and deals with that, I don't believe that should be a pass. You took the job. This is what comes with the job. If you're unable to do your job because of these issues, you should not have the job. Period. I felt that way last week. I feel that way this week. Now, Morrow does not fit the bill. He is very good at his job, and he's obviously able to handle the slings and arrows. He took a breather. He came back. He's back in the game. This is easy shit. So I'm not sitting here telling you Mauro Ranallo is weak. I'm not sitting here telling you that he's a piece of shit. I am telling you I understand that he's dealing with issues. I wish him well in trying to work those issues out. But if those issues are too much to overcome, then he shouldn't be here. Obviously, he's not in that boat. He overcame and he's back and he's doing a great job. So he's a strong man. And I respect him a lot for being that strong, for dealing with what he's dealing with and still coming back and facing these idiots and going through the motions, you know, and doing what he has to do on a daily basis. I respect him. But this notion that I'm not allowed to feel this way, that you can't say that because he has mental health problems. Yes, the fuck I can. Any of us can. Now, I've ranted on my show before about the whole freedom of speech but not free of consequences thing. I've done that till I was blue in the face, okay? I have done that over and over, so we're not going to go down that road, okay? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're free to express and blah, 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 blah. What I am telling you is everyone is free to their opinion, and truthfully, the only opinion that matters is whatever opinion Mauro Ranallo gives a fuck about. If he listened to my podcast and didn't give me the time of fucking day, he'd be right to fucking do it because he doesn't know me from a fucking hole in a wall. To be honest with you, if he didn't give Corey Graves' opinion a second thought, it would still be fair because he doesn't need to value that opinion. But I know for a fact he values Beth Phoenix, and I know for a fact he values Nigel McGuinness. So if those two individuals have a problem, I would hope that he would take that seriously. And he would either address the issue or do something about it. So I reject this notion that because he has a mental health issue, I'm not allowed to criticize him. And I'm not allowed to decline on his fandom. That I have to like him because, well, look what he's battling with. Bullshit. I don't have to like that. And chances are, I'm not gonna like it. I respect Mauro. That's why I criticize him. Because I respect him. I don't treat him with kid gloves. I don't treat him like he's in hospice or on his deathbed or whatever the fuck. I treat him with respect. I respect his work. I would love to sit down and learn from him one day, as any person in the profession should. But for anyone to sit here and be like, well, you know, you really shouldn't get on his case about stuff because he's got issues, that's bullshit. So here's the part where I feel like I need to discuss something about myself. Because I think, again, people are starting to develop this opinion about me, and I want to get things clear. First and foremost about myself, the thing that I just said a second ago about people valuing opinions, let's get that out in the open right now. And I think I've said this before, but it's been a while, so let's get through it. There are a lot of opinions that are shared. There are a lot of opinions that are voiced. And if you can see my hands, they're very far apart. It's like a huge amount of opinions, a huge amount of thought, all put into different topics all around the world, every second of every fucking day, in every format you can possibly imagine. And the percentage of opinions that are shared that actually matter or mean anything is minute, very small. I'd be shocked if it was 1%. On a worldwide scale, I'd be shocked if it was 1%. Opinions only matter to the people who matter to the opinion. The people who care about your opinion. I can walk into the street and meet a person who can curse me out to my fucking face. I'll laugh and walk away. Your thoughts about me mean fucking nothing to me. But my wife can destroy me with one fucking word. That's how life works. It's the people closest to you who have the genuine ability to destroy you. It's the good people you keep around that choose not to do that. You understand that? That's how that works. You want to keep people around you that you can keep close enough to where if they really turned on you, they would destroy you. But they would never do that to you because they love you and they respect you and they want to see you do good. You see, that's what I wanted to discuss about me. I am that person, or at least, to be fair, I try to be. No one is perfect. Everyone makes mistakes. Lord knows, my teens and my early years were spent chock full of fucking mistakes. I've always tried to be the right guy. I've always tried to be the good guy. But the fact of the matter is if I'm being completely real with myself, I have not always been a very nice fucking guy. As I've gotten older, I've tried along the way to improve upon that, and I would like to admit openly that I feel at this point I'm in a really good position to not only be the good guy I've always wanted to be, but to be there for the people I feel need more good guys in their life. Because to be honest with you, it breaks my heart to see so many of my friends who I am either close with or acquaintances with, or even if you just know me from the shows or whatever the case may be, who go on the social media and talk all this shit about all the betrayal they've suffered through, all the people who've turned their backs on them, all the people that have told them to their face that they're family, that they're friends. And no matter what, they'll always be there. And then when the what hits the fan, they're nowhere to be found. It always hurts my heart. And that's why I always tell people, when I do for people, I do with no expectation of you doing back. That's the way that I do things. It's not the way that everyone does it. That's fine. I'm not everybody else. I'm me. And I do things to help people as often as I can, as hard as I can, whenever I can, as often as I can. That's the way that I have lived my life, I'd like to say comfortably, for the last 10 years or so. It has worked out great for me, and I plan on doing this until I fucking die. I do without the want of being done back to me. And I am happy to say that in spite of the fact that I don't expect it back, I have been extremely appreciative of the people who have given it back. So this idea, this notion that I don't care about people who suffer from mental health issues is bullshit. And anybody who has ever met me for more than 5 fucking minutes will tell you that it's bullshit. There's a lot of things about my life, that my real life, that people don't know. The things that I have dealt with, the people that I have helped, okay, that I don't share on this show, because this show is supposed to be about entertainment. I'm supposed to come on this show and get on this mic and display my wonderful wit. That's the whole point. I get on here, I make a few jokes, we laugh, we tell some pro wrestling stories, we talk storylines, maybe, just maybe, I'll do a big boob joke or something like that, clown around, shuck and jive, whatever. But when you start bleeding the professional stuff into the personal, then I've got to check you. And not check in a bad way, not put you in your place. I mean check as in give you some more information about myself so that you can make a better decision on what my character and my personality is. I'm not going to come down on somebody who is calling me names, who is telling me that I'm a piece of shit, because I don't respect people who go through mental illness. I'm not going to come at you and curse at you and cuss you out and put you in your place, because the reason you came to that conclusion is because I didn't give you enough evidence, I didn't give you enough information to support the idea that that notion is false. So, that's what I've decided to do here tonight. Now, I've given you a little bit about my personality. I've given you so far a little bit more about my motivation behind helping people. The only thing that I've left out is the actual physical evidence of what I've done with people in the past when it comes to mental health. That is the one element of this conversation, unfortunately, I can't give you. It is not that I haven't helped people with mental illness. It's not like I haven't helped children who deal with mental illness. Autistic, down, bipolar, you fucking name it. Down the list, up and down, that I haven't helped, that I haven't groomed, that I haven't saw grow from small child to adulthood, that I've helped not only physically, emotionally, but financially. All those things I've done. But I can't give you the evidence. I can't give it to you. Do you know why? Because this is another part of my personality. If you do charity, and the first thing you do is tell the world that you did charity, then I hate to break it to you, but you didn't do any fucking charity. You did it for clout. You clout chasing. You went out here and you did it for the rub. It's the same thing that WWE does all the time, and it makes me fucking sick to my stomach. All this stuff about cancer and the bringing up the Susie G. Komen stuff. Oh, it's for awareness. Bullshit. Throw a dart in here in the United States. You show me somebody who doesn't know something about some form of fucking cancer. I promise you. It's parading. You can get awareness. You can get all that information out there in different avenues and different venues. You're a multi-billion dollar company. You parade these women out there to get the rub. It's the same shit with Conor's fucking cure. Tell me anything otherwise than the fact that I can believe the fact that they love this kid. I can believe the fact they had a good relationship with this kid. I can believe the fact that they have felt a tie with his family for so long because of how much emotion and passion he gave in the locker room. I can buy all that. But it's 2019 and we're still dragging this kid's name around. Tell me that shit's not disrespectful. Oh, it's about awareness. That's the excuse for everything. It's about awareness. It's all about awareness. We live in a 24/7 fucking life. The world right now is run by the internet. The world right now is instant information at any at the touch of a dime. I can go into my phone right now and get any fucking information I want about anything. Tell me again that this fucking program and this commercial you've thrown up 30 goddamn times is for fucking awareness. Bullshit. And I'm not going to be one of those fucking people. So regardless of who yells and curses at me online or messages me or anything like that to tell me that I'm full of shit and, that I'm a piece of shit because I don't care about people with mental health, my body, my first instinct, obviously, I'm from the hood. So my first instinct is to come at you and prove you wrong because I know that I can. It's my maturity level and my confidence in myself to know that I have that stops me from doing it. Because if I shout out names, if I shout out my fucking bank statement, if I tag motherfuckers to this, I'm no better than the people I just fucking criticized right now. Because now I'm boasting about my charity. And I refuse to do that. Regardless of who's coming at me. So by default, that's me taking the L. I'm going to take that loss. Because I'm refusing to fight in the way that I would need to fight to defeat you. I will simply take solace in the fact that if I wanted to, I could fucking destroy you. But I'm not. Because in order for me to do that, I will have to release pieces of my personality that are long gone, dead, and buried. You see, deep down inside, when I was a younger man, and I was having problems in my home, and I was having problems and running the streets and being involved with shit that I shouldn't have been involved with. I was not the nicest person. Oh yeah, even O got a little bit of evilness in there. But I'm happy to say that that was a long fucking time ago. And to be honest with you, I have zero interest in going back. I'm all about that positivity right now. Not just in my life, but putting positivity in the lives of others. That's the way that I fucking roll with this. I don't need to boast. I don't need to pop my chest out. Do you know how easy it would be for me with this podcast to start tagging motherfuckers that I know in the industry? You know how easy it would be for me to buy my own t-shirts or stock up on my own shirts and hand them out to all these superstars that you guys see on TV? I know a bunch of them. I work with a bunch of them. I've had half of the fucking, basically, there was like 1 year where like almost the entire like Ring of Honor locker room was like in and out of my house. Because they were even doing shoots or promos or whatever the case may be. Like, my relationship with people who are in the industry, who were in the industry like 7, 8, 9 years ago, who are now in WWE, AEW, probably even still in Ring of Honor, I mean, just traveling the world, who still remember me when they come back to the city, it'd be very easy, okay? Very easy to put these motherfuckers on my podcast, to spend a couple $100 to get these guys on my podcast or to do videos with them and to put my show out there and tag them and shove my fucking face in everybody else's fucking face. It'd be easy to do that. But that's not what I wanted to do. Because I'm not a boastful cat. I want my numbers on this show to reflect my work, not who I know. I want to be able to come onto this podcast and be entertaining and hopefully entertaining enough for you to not only listen to my show, but to continue to listen to my show. I've been doing this show for over 2 years. I've had some high highs. I've had some low lows, some lulls, so to speak. because there's been times, like for instance, this week, I'm busy as fuck. If I'm super, super busy, I don't promote as hard. If I don't promote as hard, I don't get the numbers I want. But in times like coming up after the next week, like next month in January, I'm not going to really have much school, so I get to dedicate more time to the show, so I'm sure my numbers are going to go up, up, up. Because I'll be promoting it more, I'll be putting out more content, more product, all that stuff. I dictate my success. And I understand that. That's what I want. So that's what I'm doing here right now. I'm giving you guys more of me. Okay? I'm a very, 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 very dedicated person. I've been married. I've been married 10 years. No. 2019. So, yeah, 10 years. 10 years. I've been with my wife for 16. She was 18. I was 20 when we met. But the same job for years. I've never been any place short term. I've got friends that I still talk to this day since before even high school. Commitment is my middle fucking name. That's what I do. I commit to things. I work hard every single fucking day to get to every second of every fucking day. I wake up in the morning at 6:30 every fucking morning to get up and do what I have to do with my son and my kid and his school and my job and all this other stuff. And I work all the way until 1 o'clock in the fucking morning just to fucking get up in 4 or 5 hours to do it all fucking again. Every fucking day. I do my job. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I do the podcast. I go to shows. If there was more than 24 hours in a day, I still wouldn't get relaxation because I would end up just going to more shit and doing more shit because I work hard. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is who I'll always be. I've come to that conclusion. I don't know if I'll ever retire at anything. I'm probably just going to eat fucking work until I fucking die. And that's pretty much it. I've come to grips with that. And I'm fine with that. And I'm hoping that my son catches at least some of this. I want him to be happy. But he's going to have to work for it. And I want that to be the template that I laid for him. He's the biggest reason I went back to school in the first place. I'm killing myself right now to show him I want him to see with his eyes that his dad did this. So that when it's his turn at bat, when he gets to the high school level, it's time to make that commitment to go to college. He's going to have not one, but two fucking parents who did it, who can guide him through it and talk him through it, and work with him so he can put himself in a better position than I put myself in. Because if I would have did this 15 years ago, it would have been a completely different fucking story. Hell, I might have already been in the WWE, to be honest with you. If I would have took care of myself when I was younger, all the stuff that I do now, it would have meant a whole lot more. But that's why I try to lead by that example with him. And it's the same thing I'm trying to do with my family. And that's the same thing I'm trying to do with my friends. My friends go through the same thing. I see my friends, they're sitting there feeling down, feeling like they're in a bad place. I don't want my friends feeling like that. And if you're my friend and you're listening to this right now, my friends will tell you, I say the same thing all the time. I'm not big on the phone. Everyone knows this. I'm not one of these people that can sit on a cell phone all fucking day and all fucking night and just dilly-dally and talk up a storm and just talk about it. I don't have all night for that. I've done it because I got friends who've been, you know, who've gone through some real life shit that needed that guy to be there for them on the phone and to talk to him and just to vent and veg and get it all out. I've had friends do that, and that's fine. You know, emergency situations, I could buckle down. I could swallow my own pride to get on the phone. And that's the whole point of what I'm trying to say with that part, because, you know, not everyone wants to type out a DM or anything like that. You know, some people, they want to have, you know, an actual conversation with people. And I'll buckle down and I'll do it. But that's my point. Reach out. Talk to me. Tell me straight up. I need someone right now to just, like, let me say what I got to say. You know, I've done that 1,000 times with people. I've gotten into fist fights with my friends because, be honest with you, they needed to get into a fucking fist fight at that moment. I've done this. I've gotten my ass kicked, and to be honest with you, I've kicked the shit out of friends simply because they needed to get the shit kicked out of them, or they needed to kick the shit out of somebody. I've eaten those bullets before, in and out of the ring. I've been in the ring with people where they're just not in a good mood, they're not in a good place, they're not feeling right, something's off, and you could just tell from their face they're not into it, you know, and they're like, you know, I don't know. And you just tell them, yo, let's just go in there and let's just call it. Just go out there and wrestle and get it all out, get the energy out. We go in the ring and I just start slapping them up, challenging them, and we just get into a full blown fucking stiff fest. I've gotten my fucking chest redded up, bleeding. I've had teeth. I took a picture today, as a matter of fact. Somebody made mention. It wasn't a public picture. I took a picture and sent it to some family members who were like, I didn't know you were missing teeth in the side. I'm missing two teeth on my right side. Right here, with my tongue right here. I'm missing two teeth on the right side, and I'm missing a tooth right here. Same side, like same position, left side. So like where like Dracula, like the Dracula teeth, the vampire teeth is supposed to be. I got two missing on one side and one on the other. One was a chair shot that broke the gum on my left, and that tooth is still there, the half. Because it broke at the gum line, so it's still in there. But it hasn't caused any problems. On the right side, it was something similar. That was backyard, actually, where the first one cracked. I only cracked one on the right side. But I had gotten pain medication for that, and I was supposed to get it extracted. And I never did, because the pain went away, so I said, fuck it. I didn't have extraction money at that time. So I said, fuck it. What about my day? I said, as soon as it acts up again, we'll see. And because I let that tooth get so fucked up, it started fucking up surrounding teeth. And I bit into something. I remember that day, I was at the South Street Seaport. And we was eating, I think it was Uno's. And I bit something. It wasn't Uno's. It was the bourbon chicken. There it goes. It was in the eating, the cafeteria, whatever. The eating area, whatever. And I bit into that fucker. And not one. But two teeth cracked from biting bourbon chicken. Done. Fried. That one wasn't even an extraction. They root canaled it first, and the root canal caught in it. Believe it or not, because the root canal was like they just tear out the nerves. But everything had gotten infected in there. So instead of the root canal saving the tooth, it actually accelerated it, and they got fucked up, and I had to get both extracted. They had to go into the gum and cut open my gum and pull the fucking incisors and all that shit out. Because it was just causing problems. And then they let it heal and all that stuff. They gave me the option for, not dentures. What is that called? It's like a glass tooth they put in your fuck. I don't remember. Anyway, I didn't do it. Because I don't have fucking $1,200 to be busting out fucking fake teeth. And I said, fuck it. I'll eat soup. Fuck that shit. Farina for the rest of my fucking life. That's what I'll do. I'm not dropping a grand on teeth. Fuck teeth. I've actually done, what was it, two episodes on this podcast about fuck teeth. That's how long it's been since I've had a toothache. Fuck teeth part two, which is way back in the beginning. I'm getting off track here, but you guys get what I'm trying to fucking say here. You get what I'm trying to say, all right? It breaks my heart when I see my friends go through this stuff. So I try to be there for my friends. I try to be there for my family. And this message here that I'm leaving on this note here, because I'm not going to do this all day. I'm not going to sit here and rant for 20 more minutes, but I will say this. If you listen to this show and you're a fan of my work, or you have some modicum of fucking respect for me at all, and you feel like I am a piece of shit because, you know, I don't support people who have mental illness, or you think I'm some sort of a fucking racist or a sexist piece of shit, which I've gotten before and I don't know why. Because I love the ladies, and the ladies love me. That's not going to help my case at all. I'm just saying. I have a lot of great relationships with women on a non-sexual level. Just very... I didn't believe in it for a while. I'll admit, in my 20s, I really didn't think guys could be friends with girls just, you know, without trying to fuck them. But I've been married for so long, and I have no intentions of fucking any other woman, so it makes it easier. When you remove the sex from it, I guess it does become a little easier. You get to find out, you know, what you have in common and yada, yada, yada. So I'm not a sexist. I'm not a racist. I don't hate people with mental health. I'm just a good person who's trying to be better than fucking yesterday. That's it. There's nothing else really to that. And if you're listening to this show and you feel that way, I apologize, and I think you should hit me up and we should talk privately so I can amend that. If you feel the other way, if you know that I'm not those things, and you're looking for a fucking light, okay? Here's the thing. I'm not a perfect person. I've made mistakes, but I think personally, because I've made those mistakes, that makes me better prepared to be helpful to you, okay? I've always prided myself on being a leader. And the first thing that you learn when you're learning to become a leader is learning when to fucking lead. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to baby you, because that is not what I do. If you're looking for a friend to coddle you, if you're looking for a friend to just let you do you, then that's not the friend that I am. If you're looking for someone to vent, if you're trying to just get shit off your chest, I'll do that. For sure, why not? Everybody needs to vent. But if you come to me with a problem, I promise you right now, the one thing you're not going to get from me is, what you gonna do? That's not what I do. If you come to me and you say, listen, I got a problem. I got an issue. This is fucked up. I don't know what to do. I am going to sit there with you until we figure out what the fuck we're going to do. We're going to devise a plan to try to get you out of this fucking hole. Now, will that plan include me doing something? That's up to the situation. It depends on the person. But I've said it on social media, and I'll say it here on the show. If you're a friend of mine, if you're a family member of mine, if you're a fan of the show, and you're going through a rut, and you're going through a problem, and you feel like you need something, and you feel like you're on the edge, and you feel like you need someone to talk to, and you feel like you need just to get some shit off your chest, or you need some advice, or if you need this, you know, someone to combine ideas with and just pick the brain, or whatever the case. If you're looking for a fucking friend, please message me, because there are far too many people who wait till the last fucking minute to do something. I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to sit here and lose another friend like I just did a few weeks ago. I don't want to be the guy who loses another friend and sits here crying in my hands, telling myself I could have did more. So I'm putting it out there. I want to do more. Give me the opportunity to do more, and I will. Now, I know that at the beginning of this, I said that we were going to talk a little bit of wrestling, and we are right now, but not the wrestling. It's not the kind of wrestling I think you think is going to happen, okay? I have a lot of friends, and I have a lot of, you know, close friends, almost like family to me, who are in the wrestling business. And there are a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are either in the business or fans of the business. A lot of people basically who are involved in the business in some fashion, whether it be through fandom or through actual work, whatever the case may be. I want to give the fan and I want to give the worker a little parting piece of advice here for this particular episode. For the fan, I want to tell you this, because it's very important, and a lot of people are, you know, they want your money, you know, they want you to support, so they have a hard time telling you this. I too want your money, and I too want your support, but I'm also very honest, okay? And the honest part about the whole thing is we love you. You will never know how much professional wrestlers and the people who work in the industry, the referees, the ring crew, the lighting guys, the camera guys, the audio guys, the lighting guys, the bookers, the promoters, the whoever puts the storylines together, or whatever the case may be, any particular function. If you travel around the country, or you travel within your state, or travel within your region, and you give up time, and you give up your life, and in most cases, when you're a wrestler, you give up your body, fans will never, ever, ever truly understand how much we love you, because we put ourselves through this. We put ourselves into wheelchairs, and we put ourselves through glass and tables and fire and basic bumps, just basic bumps every day. Even when we're not at shows and we're training and we're doing this, that we do all this shit, I promise you, because we love you, because we want to entertain you, because we want you to give you a show you will never, ever forget. The kind of show that will keep you going throughout your childhood, into adolescence, into your adulthood, and eventually into your kids' lives. That's the kind of impression people want to make. Having said that, you have to remember something. We're a human too. We have lives. We have people that we love and we want to be home for. We have situations that we may not always be able to appease you. We may not be able to stop at the airport and give you the autograph. We may not be able to appear at every single event we're advertised due to injury or fatigue or, God forbid, something even worse than that. Card subject to change is what the promoters always say. You know, our personal lives, as far as who we're dating or who we're fucking on the side or whatever the fucking case is, it doesn't necessarily always need to be ran by or given to you. It's not that kind of relationship. It does go beyond the, hey, I paid my money and yada, yada, yada. You know, I never am going to be one of those where it's like, ah, you paid your money and all you really get to me for me is just a wrestling match, you know? I understand that pro wrestlers have a bigger reputation and a bigger influence on people than just the wrestling match. At the same time, we're people. We get sick. We get broken. We have things that we have to do. The only thing that I can ask from people is to have some sort of care in that, because I, far too many times, do I go on the internet and see the exact opposite. The bullshit that people put Sasha Banks through. The bullshit that people put, you know, all these guys, look how fucking fat this fucking guy is. Or look how fucking fat this woman is. Can you imagine? I want you just for a second to just imagine for 2 seconds what it would be like to be a woman. And then to top all that, to be a woman in an industry basically dominated by men and dominated by the dimensions of look and subjection. What you're allowed, or what you allow your promoter to subject you to. You know, you can't just be a good wrestler. You have to have big tits and nice hips or beautiful hair or be willing to suck a few dicks to get to where you want to get on the card or whatever the case may be. That's the industry that you're in. And for the women who keep their shit together and keep their nose to the grindstone and just work on their straight-up skills as opposed to appeasing certain people, those are the women who get it on both sides. Fans will call her a whore, and the fucking promoters and the bookers and the boys will treat her like one. It goes all over the place. So please, as fans, you have to understand, this could be a toxic situation when it's made that way. Don't pile on. I'm not asking you to break your wallet and buy a whole bunch of merch if that's not within your realm of possibility, but to have fucking respect is zero fucking dollars. On the other side, for the wrestlers, word of advice. If you're going to be a wrestler, be a fucking wrestler. Be a fucking wrestler. I've gotten in trouble a few times with people very, very close to me because they hate when I say this sentence. But I believe it. I live by it. It's very, very, very fucking important to me. There are two sides to a guardrail. You can't, what was it that guy said? You can't stand on the guardrail. You got to be on one side or the other. You're either in or you're out. And I know nowadays it's very hard to determine where the in and out is. Because even I have a podcast. There's a bunch of professional wrestlers now with podcasts and former bookers and promoters who all have podcasts, and they're all telling the sports secrets and kayfabe is dead and blah, 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 blah. We all know as people who are on the inside, kayfabe is not dead. Kayfabe is alive and well, and we damn well fucking know it. It's the fans who can't decipher between the two. That's why we continuously keep getting them. Because they will never, ever be able to decide whether it's dead or not. They claim it's dead because they think they're on the inside. They're not. So as performers, treat that as such. They can only get as inside as you allow them to get. When you're on Facebook giving away all your fucking personal secrets and your real life and all this other bullshit, and you start blurring the lines, that's when you start getting treated differently. If you stay a mythical figure, you can be embellished and you can be told for years on end. When you become the everyday man, you're nothing special. You're not remembered. You're absolutely not remembered. So these are just things to keep in mind. Fans, have respect for the boys. Boys, have respect for yourselves. That's it. Just have some fucking respect for yourselves. I didn't mean to go on a rant here tonight, but you know what? It is what it is. You do what you got to do. And I hope that the people who are close to me or the people who are listening to this understand to the umpth degree that there is nothing that I won't do for them. I will try so hard to help as many people as I can. And by that, I mean without endangering my wife or my son or my family or putting them in a poor position or whatever the case may be. I will do whatever I can. Anyone that I have helped in the past will tell you that. If I can do it, I'll do it. If I can't, I will tell you. You're not going to be able to guilt me into anything. I don't have a soul, so that's not going to work. You're not going to be able to convince me of anything. You don't have to sell me on anything. The most effective way to get my help is to just tell me what your situation is and just let me fucking help you. That's it. You don't have to sell me on anything. You ain't got to kayfabe me, brother. There's a lot of shit you just don't have to do. Just be real with me. And for those of you who were real with me, but you have the wrong impression of me, hit me up. So, this was a bit of an odd episode. I'll give you that. But this was something that I felt that I needed to do and get off my chest. If you feel differently about the way that I've discussed things, fine. If you feel the same, then I think we can be friends, baby. Did we just become best friends? Yep. Fucking John Stamos. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for motherfucking enjoying.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.